It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Can you say hard hats, folks? Hard hats, lunch pails, steel-toe boots?
Anything short of a championship this year is a failure.
Dude, look at this boomer right here.
You've just got so much talent here.
Somebody said we need to apologize for Jalen.
Can I pull the John? What are we apologizing for? What did we say? What did we do?
It's not there. Oh, somebody is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. Another one. And another one. How many more, John?
11.
11. More on that in a minute. Hard hat game, folks. Hard hats, lunch pails, steel toe boots. Celtics dominate. 25-point win. Easy work. I mean, if anyone watched the preview show yesterday, I wasn't on it, but you guys were, so it wasn't as good as it could have been. But I did watch it back today. You guys are on point. This was a series that the Celtics. Had been. That's exactly what this series is. The first two series are a snooze fest, but we'll take it because bigger and better, on to bigger and better things. But
I do have
getting through the Caps, just getting through Cleveland. Ugh, Cleveland. Team epitomizes the city. Boring. Mitchell's legit, but I mean, again, that's what we said. Mitchell can't do it all, and he literally has to do it all. There's nobody else on this Cavs team. Not a soul. And the Celtics tonight, you know who showed up? Once again, Derek White showed up. Big time. Derek White's there. Jaylen Brown obviously showed up too, led the team in scoring and set the tone early on. Derek White's been their best player since the playoffs have started. Derek White is your best player right now in the Celtics. It's Derek White. It's not Jaylen Brown. It's not Jason Tatum. It's certainly not
Tatum.
It's Derek White by a landslide. This guy is unbelievable.
I liked everything about
and Luke Kornet's a close second.
Yeah, Kornet's there. I liked everything about Brown's game tonight.
Me too.
Maybe one stint where he looked like he ran out of gas, lapsed on defense. That was like a 90-second stretch. Everything else was really on point. Didn't force the issue at all. I love that. It's not just
looking like a star player out there.
He absolutely didn't force it at any point in time. And there was a few times he could have, right? Like there was a lot of times where it was like, he got it, had a matchup, tried to back a guy in, either saw a double coming or wasn't able to get exactly to the spot and moved it. That's great. I love seeing him do that. Found some open guys, swung to open shooters, you know, a couple great drop passes down low. I loved Brown's game. I love everything Sherrod Blakely brings to the table as well. We're bringing Sherrod.
Speaking of stars, what's up, Sherrod?
We've also got
Bobby. Fellas?
Yeah, we got Bobby and Josue down there as well. They will
Sherrod,
also
I gotta
join
get you
in.
One of these for the garden, my friend.
Bring it.
Thought you were wearing one for a second.
No, that's just my head. It's always hard.
We're going always. With our alternate backer tonight, by the way. It's black. We're going, you know, it's a city, but it's the city backer, you know, for the show.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. You know, it's our alt jersey, alt backer. Yep.
Yep.
They have alternate jerseys. We have alternate backers.
Summer.
There you go.
Summer in the city.
Before we get into all the good and all the bad, because there wasn't much bad, but I mean, there was a lot of good there. I mean, this to me was, Sherrod, this was a B-minus effort, and they won by 25, meaning they did a lot of things extremely well. They also just had some lapses. They also, their 3-point looks in the first half were outstanding. I thought half of them were down. They just not a friendly rim. They weren't, I mean, it wasn't as off as it looked. The only reason it wasn't. The only reason it wasn't a 50-point game was, I mean, a 30-point game in the half is because some of those threes didn't fall. But again, I don't see a path I'm the guy with the election map. I don't see a path to 270 here for Cleveland.
You're the guy.
Like, you know.
But you're trying to make it work. You're like, well,
if they do this, if we move this,
if they do that, if we move it over
you
here,
still got Maricopa County, John. You can't count them.
I don't see a path to four wins. I don't.
No.
I don't see a path to two wins.
No. This is what every team in the NBA was fearing with the Celtics, and that is that they would be able to continue to dominate and not be great in doing it. I thought it was more like a BB minus. You could go either way with that, but it definitely was not the best that they could play. And I think that's the scary part, that they basically just absolutely shredded this team in the second half, and their best player had a subpar game. And, you know, other than the first quarter, you know, Jaylen was good throughout the game, no question. But the first quarter, he was dominant. And then the third quarter, it was Derek White who was dominant. And that, to me, that's the beauty and the burden that teams have when you face the Celtics. It's like playing basketball whack-a-mole. The minute you one guy is in scoring, there's another guy that's hitting you for double digits. As soon as you address that, then there's another guy. It just doesn't end. And then, you know, even Al Horford, you know, he got a little, I think, pumped up there for a minute when I think Tristan was biting him up a little too closely. So Al just took him on a block, got a layup, next possession. Al hits a three ball, timeout Cleveland. To your point, John, I don't see anywhere on the map where they can even get even just remotely close to what they need to win. I thought Boston would win this one in five. I don't know.
Five's long. Five's long. So we're going to get into, you know, what, you know, the easy thing to do is immediately think it's over. I think it's over, and I think it was over. But we've been wrong. We've eaten words before, and you see different things happen. I don't see it with this Cleveland team, but we'll talk about, is there anything we're missing here about this game and about, you know, this matchup? I don't think so. We'll talk about the individual performances. Jason Tatum, yeah, I have a little concern. I'm going to get into that a little bit. Is that okay? Is that fair?
Yeah, just wait until the second half of the show, please.
I'm not going to start now. I will say first, before we get really cracking, I do want to let everybody know the show, The Garden Report, is brought to you, as always, by Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Make sure you sign up at Prize Picks. As you see the deal on the screen there, we'll tell you more about it later. But also, Game Time. Yes, welcome Game Time to the CLNS Media Network, the best mobile ticket marketplace app out there. Again, check out Game Time. You can get $20 off your first tickets here. So, bit of a snooze fest.
I want to add on to that real quick. We also got to pump our own stuff here. We got a CLNS.
What about tonight, Jimmy?
What?
I'll tell you what I found out. You go ahead.
Yeah, you can tell us what you found out. But I want to remind everybody, when the Celtics win, guys, we do a special promo code after the win. The promo code, you can only get it if you're watching the show. The promo code tonight is 11 more. 1-1 more. We all know what that means. 11 more wins. 20% off the merch store right now. We've got Garden Report t-shirts, hats, jackets. We got the book by Maxwell. The shirts are going quick. We've already sold out of the phenomenal t-shirts sold out, but they're on order right now. The Garden Report t-shirts are close. We'll be ordering more of those. We've also got some other surprises coming down the pipeline. I don't want to give anything away. We've got some other surprises coming down the pipeline. So
I just knew you were giving it away, Jimmy. I was so convinced that you were going to say something you're not supposed to say.
I'm not going to give anything away. It's going to be hard, but I'm not going to give anything away. Just stay tuned. Check out the merch store. We've got some great products in there. Okay, yeah. John, you have the floor. What'd you learn tonight, John?
Bobby's like the salesman. He's like shilling Maury's wigs right now. Like he's just always friggin'. He's always, always hustling. I found out there's a secret text thread between you, Nick, and Amit, and you spend 80% of the time talking about merch.
No, we spend 100% of the time.
80%?
Three days ago. That's the new text thread.
Yeah.
We didn't want to bombard you guys with t-shirt talk. A lot of ideas floating around. A lot of ideas.
Here's Nick putting the URL up on the screen. There we go.
There we go.
Yeah, hard hats are coming. We also have a. We got a.
Whoa.
We got a. What?
We didn't say that for sure. We didn't say that hard hats are coming for sure.
There's stuff coming. There's stuff.
Now Jimmy wants to be cautious.
Whoa. Only whoa. Fan, yeah, you can't afford that one. You can't afford that one. That's elite.
The text thread.
That's actually true. That's accurate.
Fucking Xanus. the title of the thread is effing Xanus. That's fun. Gosh. So that's our show, guys. We'll see you guys later.
Thanks for coming out.
Celtics did good. Cleveland is bad. I mean, look, Allen returns. The dynamic changes a tad.
Yeah.
A tad. Thanks, everybody. Please tip your waitress. But other than that, I don't see it. And again, I just.
No, Allen's big for them because Allen gives them the size that they don't have. Allen has Luke running around like he's Shaq out there.
What did I do to deserve that?
I don't know. Just existed, probably.
Just being.
Luke looks like Shaq out there without. No, Luke looks like Shaq out there without a guy like Allen because he's
great.
He's their physical force on the Cleveland. So if he comes back, that does change things a little bit. I don't think it flips it 25 points worth, but it absolutely does give the Cavs at least a prayer if they can get somebody like him back in the game. He's a great.
He was great. You know,
double-double guy.
No, he was great. We're going to get into Tatum, but I just love the way that Jalen approached this game. I mean, Jalen basically said from the outset, I am going to come out here, and whoever you're guarding me is about to get their ass kicked.
That's the plan, Derek.
Whoever you put on me, they are about to get their ass kicked, and I will be in their face. I'm going to dunk on somebody. Luke's going to play well. I mean, the aggression that they opened the game with, I really hope that they continue to play like that. Because it wasn't so much the shot making that Jalen was doing. It was the fact that he was so assertive in everything he did. He didn't dance with the ball like which drives us nuts. He just made a decision. I'm going to the cup. I'm going to shoot the three and just went through. If it didn't, there was no indecisiveness or uncertainty about his game. And he's so much better when he's playing like that. So much better.
It was pretty much a perfect game out of Brown there. So there's really nothing to complain. Again, tone setting. And again, it's impossible to say it without talking about the other guy, but it's like, you really didn't miss. And what's funny is Tatum still ends up with a better plus minus. But when they're out there, it just didn't feel like you were missing Tatum. Because again, the thing with Tatum is like, yeah, the impact's there in other ways, but sometimes you feel like he's waiting too long to figure how he's going to affect this particular game. While he was doing that, Brown was doing his thing, so he didn't wait for it. And then, I mean, again, you got to give flowers here. Brown was the guy early, and that second unit came in, and that kind of first built that cushion, right? That little arm's length cushion where they put it at 10, 12, 14, and they kind of kept him away there. You got to give it to Luke, you know, Hauser in there in that first stint. They played really well. It was an all around, you know, solid effort from the bench there. And you see how Cleveland's using a lot of guys
and they're not very good.
And they're really bad. Cleveland went deep, you know, into that bench. And they're just using some guys that just can't play. And yeah, Wade will make a little bit of a difference, you know, athletic kind of 3-and-D wing. I mean, he's not a game changer, and you know, he's not going to have a game ever in his life like he did last time he faced the Celtics, but it's better. You got to bump. I mean, again, I know Morris like started two games ago. He still only got 9 minutes. Tristan Thompson, 16 minutes. Some of those came in garbage time as well. You can't be relying on these guys as part of your regular rotation and have anybody take you seriously. And that's what I wrote in my prediction. I was like, these guys are playing minutes for this team. There's no way. It's Mitchell has to go off. Mitchell's got to play 48 and he's got to go off for 50 and Garland's got to catch fire or else they're cooked. They just don't have it. They don't have the juice here.
Yeah. No, and there's – go ahead, Jimmy.
No, I was going to say, I mean, without – I mean, even Dean Wade, he was a guy that went off on the Celtics back in March. I mean, he looked like, you know, the other Wade. But he's out for this mesh. So the Cavs are undermanned to begin with, you know, without Wade, without Allen. And their bench is weak, man. I mean, their bench is LeVert and nobody, really. For some reason, Niang's not getting any burn anymore. He was the player last year. It seemed like he was going to have a real impact on this Cavs team, but apparently he's fallen out of the rotation a bit, and he can't barely even get on the court in a blowout loss.
He's not a good defender. I mean, I'm being very kind when I say he's not a good defender.
Right.
You look at the way this Cleveland team's built. They're built around guys who can play both ends of the floor. Maybe not great, but certainly, decent. And he's just not. And he doesn't shoot the ball well enough to compensate for what you're losing at the other end of the floor. And you know, Max Strus came. Max Strus was the one guy for Cleveland I was a little surprised didn't play better. Not just because he's a former Celtic, but when you look at the numbers that he has had against the Celtics, not in terms of scoring, but just impact. Like, Tatum does not score the ball well when Max Strus is guarding him. At least that's the way it was during the regular season. And tonight, Tatum didn't have a great game shooting the ball. But again, as John pointed out, at the end of the day, he still gets a double-double. And, you know, at the half was on triple-double watch because I think he had like four assists at the half. So, you know, Cleveland's in a heap of trouble. And again, they had a good season. I know it's only one game. I know we shouldn't be talking about the next round, but damn it, there's just nothing about this Cleveland team that inspires me to think that they can do anything other than just show up, take that ass looking like an adult, and go back to Cleveland. 1, 2, 3, Cancun.
I was going to say, can we do Cancun instead of having to play this series? Just give these guys a little relax some and call it. Here's the thing. Everyone's saying it in the chat, and it's fair. It was Celtics came out, you know, just absolutely put a beat down in Miami in game one, and then did their game two thing. I don't think that's going to happen again this year. We have to acknowledge that it's possible. And so I think game two is it. I think they win game two. It's 4 or 5, and that's it. I mean, that's not a ridiculously bold take, but this is where you're like, with them, like I say, it's always, can you repeat it, right? Like,
right.
There's no question. They're human. They know. They came away from this thinking, like, we weren't even great tonight. And we killed these guys.
Yeah.
It's dangerous, you know, that complacency does set in.
But it's real.
What I liked about tonight, and again, this is going to be a bit of a knock on Tatum, is, you know, I always think that that stuff starts top down with Tatum and Brown when they kind of take it easy, or like, give me the ball. I'm going to burn this guy. And it gets a little mucky muck and you know, the offense grinds to a halt. I don't think the other guys are going to allow him to. I like Derek White had the ball in his hands a lot tonight. I think if you don't allow yourself to even begin doing that, matchup hunting, slowing it down, trying to get hot, find your shot, fine. Who cares if Tatum doesn't score in a first quarter again? Again, you don't need it. The best version of this team does not need to get a particular player going. I'm hoping they don't do that this time. And yes, that's exactly right. It's exactly right. Like, they're going to try to take him away. The doubles are going to come. They're going to be looking. They want to get him to force uncomfortable shots and fadeaways and, you know, and this and that, and, you know, throw a lot of bodies at him. Fine. They're just let the other guys do it.
So that's the thing, is like, we would criticize Tatum if the roster was designed in a way where he didn't have other options. We'd be criticizing him for forcing horrible shots up and, you know, trotting back on deep, you know what I mean? And just playing bad overall basketball. But the fact that they do have all those other options, the fact that Jaylen Brown can drop 20 points, in the first half, or the fact that Derek White can hit 7 threes, Tatum doesn't have to feel like he needs to overdo things and force things and, you know, take ridiculous shots that we've seen in past years and then we've got on him for. So yeah, it might feel like he's less aggressive or deferring or just not a part of the action. That might actually all be true, but it's because the Celtics are having success in that game during that moment. He's not required to put up 30 shots and to score 40 points in a game like this. And that's the difference between Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum, really, is the situation that they're in. You can go out and say, oh, Mitchell's a much better offensive player than Tatum, and there's probably some stats that would back that up. I think more than anything, situation. Donovan Mitchell has to score 40 points a game if the Cavs want to have a prayer. He scores 33 tonight, they don't have a prayer. Even if he did end up 40, they wouldn't have had tonight. But point being is, he needs to look for his shot almost every single time down the court, because who the hell else is going to be doing that? Whereas for the Celtics, I mean, I don't have to tell everybody here. Everybody knows the option that they have, and Porter isn't even in the game right now. So that's a roster that Brad's designed with that in mind, that if you want to go heavy on a guy like Tatum and force him to pass it or force him to, you know, focus on the defensive side and not offensive side, fine. There's other guys that are going to be able to carry that load. You better not forget about Derek White, because he's going to hit 7 threes on it.
That being said, I didn't like him. But anyway, go ahead. I didn't like Tatum's game, but that's fine.
I know that, but I get what I'm saying. You can get away with him.
You know, trying to get himself going there, but...
Somebody's saying my mic sucks?
No.
No. But, I mean, to your point, though, that's why you look at the top teams in the postseason now. When you look at Celtics, you look at Minnesota, you look at OKC, what do they all have in common? They're deep. You can't you can take one guy away and it can still beat you no matter who you are. The teams that are still in it, who are, you look at them and you figure they're on borrowed time, or teams like Cleveland, teams like New York, and they're having a great stretch. But how many games are you going to be able to win when one guy is scoring like 45 points and you're playing a team that has three or four guys that can go and get you 30 or 40 the way the Celtics do? That is how you build a championship contender in this day and age. You can't win with one or two trick ponies. You got to have multiple guys, both for your starting unit and coming off your bench, you can impact the game. Cleveland just doesn't have that. I mean, Donovan Mitchell obviously is a great player. Garland, I think, is a really good player. And then after that, it's crickets. You start hearing crickets. I mean, when you start about, okay, who's next? The Celtics, you've got your two all-stars. You got Derek White. You got Drew Holiday. You got Al Horford. You got Pritchard giving you 10 points and a buzzer beater, the end of quarter. You got freaking limit score Luke Kornet getting you 10 boards and a putback jam. That's how you win a championship. And to the point that you made earlier about how, you know, Cleveland, they don't have Jared Allen, which obviously impacts them. But most teams that win championships, at some point or points along that journey, they face teams that don't have their full complement. Golden State's first championship came where they went the entire postseason with at least one starter on the opponent team, on the opposing team, either not playing at all in the series or missing some significant time. So it's one of those benefits that just falls in your lap when you're destined to win a championship.
Yep, no doubt. Yeah, we'll get more to it later. I'm waiting to hear a little
bit
of...
Are you concerned about Tatum, though, John? It sounds like you are.
No, I'm not. I find like he's searching a little too long to figure out what he's supposed to be doing sometimes.
I'm a little concerned if you're not, John. I am. I'm concerned.
So that always bugs me a tad, is like, it feels like... people are disagreeing here in the chat and saying it's just a missed threes. I don't think so. I thought he had to really work to get shots. They weren't comfortable shots. It wasn't just missing. Even his drives were a little forced. You know, he's not clean. I think he's just jamming it through sometimes rather than, you know, and then there's other times where he makes a good decision and overpowers somebody and this and that. But I think he's just waiting for it. And then instead of doing things in the flow, just deciding later, like, well, I didn't take a lot of shots, so now I'm going to see if I can get it going a little bit. It just feels like his choices of when to assert himself versus when not are a little bit off, and some stuff feels a little forced. He didn't feel like he was in the flow tonight, whereas I felt like the offense was flowing a little bit, and then Tatum would try to kind of figure out what it is I'm supposed to be doing here tonight. And that's what, you know, because you're going to need it. You're going to need it. I've always said it, just everything felt a tick slow for him. Like, I don't know. That's how he felt all night to me. Like he just wasn't. You look at and you're not going to compare Brown and Tatum's athleticism. Brown plays with more pace, more physicality, more aggression. He's certainly more assertive. But yeah, I just felt he was just offensively just out of sync all night. But he did some other things. I thought he played, you know, decent, defense. Some people are saying he's injured, but let's just call it what it is. It's like, he doesn't look like a top five player. He didn't look like a top five player.
No, he doesn't.
That's, and I've seen a little bit, and it's not just the physical stuff. I think he's, you know, he's a tad off just making that decision and what he wants to do here. Cause I think inside he's like, is this the time I'm going to get it and do my thing? or instead of just kind of letting things flow. So he's searching a little bit. He's a beat slow. Whether people think he's injured or not, I'm not really sure.
John, to your point, he's not moving as fluidly as we're used to. His dribble drives to the paint don't look sharp and crisp.
He's not getting there as quickly.
Yeah. And he's not, you know, going to the post up where he leans on his footwork when he's when he got the smaller guy. I think the ankle's bothering him a little bit. I don't think it's bothering him to the point where he's like he's gonna miss games or it's seriously hurting. I think that it's more a discomfort thing. Because the way he's playing, he looks like a guy who's just not comfortable out there. And the only thing that logically makes sense is that ankle is giving him a little bit of discomfort, but he's able to play through it nonetheless. He's just not able to play the way we're accustomed to seeing him play. And that may explain why, you know, Jaylen Brown comes out super aggressive because he knows his running mate is going to have to kind of work his way into the game a little bit, whereas he doesn't have to, Jaylen.
Yeah, people seem to be fairly certain it's the ankle. I don't know, Jimmy, are we being too harsh?
I think it depends. Like, how high do you hold this guy up? I mean, if you think he's a top five MVP caliber player, then obviously he's not playing like one like now on the offensive end. I think fans who are saying we're being too harsh are maybe saying that we're not probably respecting what he's doing aside from scoring, which would be, I guess, his facilitating, his defense. I mean, again, they're winning so handedly that it feels like it's hard to criticize too much because he's obviously contributing to what they're doing on the court. They win by 25 points tonight. He's not going to take it upon himself to try to get himself going in the middle of the Celtics, you know, going on a run, going up 10, 12, 15, whatever it is. He's going to play within the game. Like I said, some players are going to have a little bit more leeway in making it about them and putting themselves first. Celtics team is not built like that. So if you don't have it going early on, that might just be not your night. They're going to ride the hot hand. And tonight it was Brown and tonight and Derek White.
Which game is great.
Game two could be a completely different story. Brown could be cold and Jason Tatum takes over freaking, you know, maybe Holiday does something on offense for once. But
game Tatum. Yep. It's going to be Tatum's game. Yeah.
But I like the fact that Tatum has figured out how to impact games without necessarily having a good shooting night. Because remember, early on in his career, if he wasn't getting buckets, he was useless out there to your team. Mm-hmm. Just wasn't giving you anything. And now, you know, he has a rough night shooting the ball. Regardless of whether it's the ankle or not, he's still figuring out ways to impact winning. His rebounding, I thought his defense was pretty solid tonight. And just getting others involved. Even when he was making the assist, and then there was the hockey assist, and then there's, you know, Joe Mazzulla's favorite category, the potential assist. But let's not forget about the potential assist out there. So this was it wasn't a great Tatum game, but to me, when you're as good as he is, if you can have nights where you're off but still be serviceable, you'll take that. And this was a serviceable Tatum game.
You know what it is, guys? It's very simple. People are seeing what's going on in Minnesota with Anthony Edwards. People are seeing what's going on in New York with Jalen Brunson. People already know what, you know, Jamal Murray did last series and what Jokic can do. And they want to see Tatum do that. Okay. That's pretty much what it is. I say they, I'm generalizing, but the people who are maybe critical of Tatum want to see that those types of games. They want to see Tatum go four games in a row and score 40 like Brunson did. They want to see Anthony Edwards. They want to see a type of performance that Anthony Edwards put in against the Suns and got in, got in the players' faces in Phoenix. And now they're up 2-0 against Denver. They see what's going on across the league and they say, hey, Tatum can do that, right, guys? Tatum's a top five, right? He's in that category, right? Now you're starting to wonder, is he? So that's what's kind of, I feel like, maybe happening to some Celtics fans. John, I don't know if you heard what I said there, if you agree or not, but Shirai, what do you think?
Jimmy, you're right. I mean, there's definitely some of that going on. But again, I come back to the fact that Tatum has figured out how to impact winning without scoring. He's figured out a way to be a guy that can contribute to his team's success and not have to be the one carrying the load to do that. If Brunson plays poorly, if Donovan Mitchell plays poorly, their teams have no shot.
They lose.
No shot. They have no shot. Tatum could go 4-for-19 or 6-for-19, whatever he was tonight.
That's always
been
the thing.
And they win by freaking 25 points. Yeah.
That's the thing. It's again, and you're out Porzingis, and you can still live with that. It's going
to
be
right. The guy that you brought in to help you get over the hump. You don't use me. You still win by 25.
Yeah, it's an ice cold Celtics night, and Cleveland catches fire, or they play like assholes, and that's why I will allow the possibility for a loss or two here. But again, I've never seen the path to four, as we talked about. Real quick before we get moving, again, we're going to hear some post game sound. We'll hear from Joe Sway and Bobby in a little bit as well. We do want to tell you about one of our great sponsors here at the Garden Report, and that, of course, is Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. More than 3 million members. Easy and exciting way, maybe the easiest, to get in on the action. It's a really cool, intuitive app. Watch your favorite sports and players pick more or less on any player stats. Watch the winnings roll in. Win up to 100 times your money with as few as 4 correct picks. Basketball, hockey, what have you. Get in on the action. Plenty of sports to choose from. You can play celebrity games, or community plays. You have daily insurance in case a player gets hurt. So lots of different features and fun ways that you can experience this. So again, download the app today. Use that code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Once again, download the app. That's step one. Code CLNS. That's step two. Bang. Make a deposit. Get up to $100 match. And you are good to go.
Remember, pick John, more. Less is more.
Less is more. Pick as more, pick you. Less. It is that easy. Also, we do need to tell you about right here.
Game time.
Awesome. I went to the game. I used my credential. I was sitting next to Bobby Manning.
You're the man.
Watching Luke have a great game, and Bobby's trying to keep it together, and he's kind of smiling at me, and he's trying not to, and I told you so, me, but he's just taking mental victory laps right around my friggin', my corpse up on.
Did
on,
he lead
on
the all, standing it, ovation for Luke when he left the game?
He was pissed that Luke wasn't the hero among us, though. He was, he was pretty upset. But anyway, Game Time, authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, makes getting playoff tickets faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app go down the closer you get to tip-off. I'll tell you this, you might be able to get good deals because there's no juice to this series, my friends. Get to Thursday night's game, and then we'll see you in the conference finals. That's going to be a tough ticket, assuming it is, the NBA, makes it happen, and it's Celtics-Knicks. It's happening. Everybody knows this. But anyway, last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, flash deals, the panoramic view, which is really cool, so you know what it's going to look like. Low-price guarantee, Game Time credits you 110% of the difference if you find a better deal out there. So take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the app, create an account, use code CLNS. Again, download that Game Time app, create the account, code CLNS, $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Again, create that account and redeem your bonus, $20 off with the code CLNS. Back to the game. I've got a little Joe Mazzulla-ing right now. Here he is talking about Joe Mazzulla stuff.
Joe. It's level for you guys to go offensively.
Yeah, I think so. I think both ends are sore. I think if you want to get to where you want to get to against teams like this, you can always fight for a level. And so I think the balance of knowing you've done a lot of good things, but also knowing, there's like 10 to 15 possessions, and that's what we've said all year. Win or lose, there's 10 to 15 possessions you want to clean up. So just working through those and just having that mindset of like getting better every day.
Okay.
10 to 15 possessions you got to clean up.
John, you're muted.
Okay.
Yeah. Could somebody – wait, what did he just say? I don't even –
just can somebody send nothing. Me something that's not just a series of words?
Yeah.
Like, it's technically a
you
sound.
Mean like words with, you mean like words but with like, meaning.
He's got to talk about something. He might have just said basketball 30 times in a row for all I've worth.
He just said sports.
Sports, 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 sports.
Yeah, so sports were sports in tonight on the sports playing field. And sports team
Joe,
won.
I think Joe feels the way we did. He's got to say something. But the truth is, this thing is pretty – there's no path that you can logically take that will take you anywhere other than this team is going to be in the conference finals. Probably by this time next week.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's great. Celtics Knicks. It'll be good.
I do want that. Really good.
Thank you again for those. Thank you again for those throwing in super chats. No cap 757 and all the others here who contributed. We do appreciate it. Proceeds go directly to the host. They line our pockets. Okay. So, you know, you get Jimmy another hard hat. Sure. You know, Joe Sway, a laptop, a lot of super chats.
Gives me time to get in the lab and create more merch and more hard hat ideas for everybody.
Yeah. But again, Tatum isn't better than Ant, Brunson, Donovan, Luca, or Shea. Yeah, I don't know. This,
John.
We talked about it. I don't know. I mean, again, I think the less sexy stuff that Tatum does beyond that you're not going to get from Donovan, you're not going to get from Luca, you're not going to get from Brunson. The defense, I think, separates him. But ultimately, you want a guy who's just give me the effing ball and get the F out of my way when it matters. And right now, he's not that guy regularly enough. And I think that that's going to be the knock on Tatum is I think he can get hot. He can't score at will like some of these other guys, despite the fact that he has obviously a very high scoring average and he is a prolific scorer. I think it's a little harder for him than some of these other guys right now. And especially now that he's kind of searching for it, but he can get freaking scorching hot and he can beat you a lot of different ways right now. But yeah, something's a tad off, but everybody right now is looking at Ant and like jumping on that bandwagon if they haven't already. Everybody. It's hard to deny what Brunson does on a daily basis. Luka has had a shit playoffs, but he's still, you know, Luka. And I feel like we haven't seen OKC play in like 3 weeks. So I forgot what Shea even looks like, but yeah. I mean, there's good players out there. We talked about the passing of the torch too. Like, look at this. Look at these names.
Yeah, they're not the old players anymore. You're not seeing Durant. You're not seeing Kawhi. You're not seeing
the olds are missing.
You know? Yeah, the old.
No Embiid. You don't see Embiid up there. You don't see
Embiid. Still got it. He just can't stay on the court. That's the problem.
Well, then he's useless.
Yeah.
It's kind of the point of being an NBA, just to get on the floor.
Got to get on the floor. But yeah. there's definitely a young group coming in. I mean, Halliburton and Indy.
Right.
There's some good young players that are coming up here. That
look at the guys out
in a lot more. And,
right. Sacramento with Fox, good player.
Sabonis,
right?
Jimmy's always. If Bobby's getting Sabonis his Luke. Guy. Bobby's getting his Luke plug. Jimmy's getting his Sabonis plug.
I still think the Kings won that trade.
Yeah. Do I dare play an Isaac Okoro bite? What are you guys doing to me?
How do we even get into it?
He made a shot or two.
Let's see it.
Who's the first person who talked to this guy? Apparently, it's one of our guys. Let's hear it.
First time doing that. I mean, we know he could shoot the ball pretty good. You know, a lot of people on their team can shoot the ball, so it's not just Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. I mean, all their guys are threats on the court, offensively at every time.
Guys, come on.
This is the video version of Tatum's 5-for-19 game. That's what we're getting for sound. This is 7-for-19.
This mirrors the series. It's like the sound bites have to be as boring as this series is going to be.
Yeah.
Guys, I challenge my producers to get me a more boring bite than the two that we played. Okay, let's.
Can we just? I'd rather listen to Bobby one-on-one with Luke for 10 minutes. I have to.
I'm dying to hear from Luke. Are you kidding? Because like you can see the love, the love in Bobby's eyes reflecting back, you know, out of Luke's eyes.
There will be no somber tone tonight from Bobby.
Oh my God!
Gosh,
no somber. So now what?
Oh God, we got to keep going. Give me another.
We just more sound bites.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
You got more?
What do you think about Luke? All right, why don't we talk Luke for a minute since we haven't yet? Who the hell knows when Bobby's going to get
here? Do we want to do that before Bobby gets on?
Yeah, because
I'm not sure I'm waiting for him. I'll tell you that right now. Do I have the Cornette lower third yet? No. No, not yet.
Yeah, you do. No? Damn. Yeah, okay, we'll wait then. I guess we'll wait.
We're in stall mode.
We can do Cornette Cam.
There we go.
We'll wait.
There we went.
We'll wait on that one too. What about Derek White then?
Sure, Derek White. Yep. There you go. Nice shot. Sure,
Derek White. Minute. Oh, we do.
I know. I don't see it. Mine doesn't show up. I'm not updating right now. I'm stuck. My last one is White.
My last one is Derek Mitchell. White.
So damn. I just know that in the third quarter. My panel's not updating.
My panel's not
updating. I still got Luke Cornette.
We bust the producer's chops, by the way, but nobody's working harder right now than Ahmed, who's running. Bobby's got him running between locker rooms, getting obscure sound bites right now to put on the show. I got Jackson back home, manning the whole ship, manning the entire store, busting his ass as well. So, yeah. Hats off to the producers. I'm going to log off, guys, because I'm not things aren't setting up for me. So you're going to talk about Luke or Derek White.
You can decide. I'll be right back. Sure, I'll throw it to you. You want to do Derek? You want to do Derek?
Yeah, let's do Derek.
All right.
We'll do Derek because we'll do Luke when Bobby gets back.
All right, there we go. Good. Done.
No, Derek was so good, especially in the third quarter. I mean, it got to the point where, you know, and this is what makes the Celtics so damn difficult. They have like a freaking offensive relay team where you've got like Jaylen Brown first leg, you've got whoever you want in the second leg. You get Derek White getting in there. Drew Holiday, I thought, had some big buckets for them throughout this game. Peyton Pritchard had some big shots. Al Horford in the fourth quarter, I thought, did some good things. You start going down this – or third quarter, rather. You start going down the line, and they've got so many different guys that can impact the game. But the one guy that seems to always have that moment almost every game is Derek White. He'll have 4 or 5 minutes every night where he's basically the best guy on the floor. And he's scoring in a multitude of ways. He's even getting to the point now where he's breaking guys down, where before he's just splashing a three ball or finishing at the rim, but he's actually using his handle to create space and pull up on guys. And his defense is, I mean, one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA. It was a really good game for Derek White, but it's kind of like an average Derek White kind of game. He just had that stretch in the third where he had 14 points. That they had no answer for him at all. And that's the beauty of the Celtics team. They have guys that can dominate games, and there's nothing that you as a defense can do about it, because the minute you start latching onto that one player, you got to worry about Tatum. You got to worry about Brown. You have to worry about Drew Holiday, Al Horford, Sam Hauser, Peyton Pritchard. Go on, and you can go on and on and on about the guys that they have who have those stretches. And then you look across the way at Cleveland. You might get a good, 45 seconds out of someone not named Donovan Mitchell? Maybe? Yeah. And you're not going to win a game when a guy plays great for 45 seconds. And you only got one guy who can do that. So the Celtics, this is an ideal matchup for them, to just kind of basically crack a sweat, get some guys in the mix, get guys, in a nice rhythm, and then go home with a win.
White's just been Mr. Dependable. I mean, it wasn't too long ago where everyone was saying, man, if you could just get like 15 points from Derek White, like you give yourself a good chance at winning. Narrative's completely changed where you're pretty much just like, oh, I can hear myself. Got a little delay.
Yep. Yeah, it's just Joe's fault.
It must be.
Clearly. I don't know. That Brockton Wi-Fi travels with you everywhere, apparently.
Yo, am I messing up Jimmy right now? Jimmy's never looked this clear. Look at him.
No, what I was saying was, okay. Josue, you need headphones or something.
It's your sound.
It's the sound coming out of your speaker.
Oh, I get what you're saying. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we have an echo. We still have the echo.
Yeah, okay. We're back. What I was saying was Derek White is now transformed into a player where it's like you at one point you were like, oh, if you could just give you 15. But now you're expecting 25, Sherrod. You know what I mean? Like you're expecting him to just give you unbelievably good basketball on both ends of the court from start to finish. I mean, zero turnovers tonight too on top of it all. So not only is this guy, stretching the court, making you pay for leaving him open. If you're going to go heavy on Tatum or you're going to focus on Brown, he's just been the guy that has just made you pay for it every single time. And he doesn't make mistakes. Rarely does he make mistakes out there on either end. So Having that additional option out there has just been a godsend. I mean, especially for Tatum and for Brown, if they don't have it on a certain night, White's been the guy that's just been able to sort of take the reins and just run with it. You know, some most nights it's White doing that. Like you said, Sherrod Holliday is a guy that, you know, they obviously depend on, especially on the defensive end. But White is, I said it off the top of the show, he's your best player right now. You know, Brown had a great game tonight, and Brown's been more consistent in the playoffs, you know, I think than Tatum has, I think we could say. They've been back and forth a little bit. But right now, this at this point in the season, in the playoffs, Derek White's been your best player.
So, and you're talking about the guy that's your best player who's probably, in terms of the overall team pecking order, what? When everyone's healthy, maybe a fourth best player?
Well, that's like the historically how we thought about it, Sherrod. But I tell you what, every single game he's creeping closer and closer and closer. You know, at some point, you got to really take a look at things and say, "Damn, like, where does this guy actually fall on the totem pole?" He might be a lot higher up than we still keep saying.
I just think teams sleep on him. I mean, obviously the secret is out right now, but I just think it's hard for teams in the. During the game for them to say, okay, let's just focus on trying to stop Derek White, because then you're going to open the floodgates for all the other options the Celtics have, you know? So Derek White's been the main beneficiary, but at the same time, he's continuing to – this is – like, he's not cooling off at any time soon, you know? Like, this is a hell of a tear he's on right now, 3-4 straight games, and I just think that it's not going to slow down because of the constant threats you have from Tatum, from Brown – you know, even in the second unit, you know, guys stepping up, Peyton Pritchard scoring double figures. So I think all that is just a lot. It's very overwhelming for the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. I think we see a better effort in game two. But, man, I just spoke to Mobley, and he's like, yeah, I mean, there's no Porzingis, but Al's stretching the floor, you know, stretching us thin. You got guys like Luke coming in, back-to-back box, you know. Like, these guys are making an impact. Tillman even got some playing time as well. So I just think there's a lot to say about the way the Celtics have started off. The first quarter, and then the same thing that they did in the
I did this the, one, Jimmy.
In the third quarter as well. Like, those, the way they're kicking off these halves, I feel like the Cleveland Cavaliers, I mean, I get it. They just got off the seven game series. Game seven was just a couple of days ago, but they just didn't have enough in this one.
Yeah. One thing I want to kind of dispel, I think this gets thrown out a lot. And yes, he's not getting Jason Tatum level of attention. He's finding the right spot and just enough daylight to get off shots. And as Ben Vallis put it here, First of the Floor podcast host, you get Celtics Late Night coming up after this, literally almost perfect for him. It is so strange to think back at Derek White, and his floater game is great. He's going to the basket. His touch is phenomenal. I'm sorry. It's not just the defender. It's the spots he's scoring from and how comfortable he is doing it. You know, Tatum can sometimes get there. He's struggling a little bit with some of these things, with the three-point shot and with, you know, in and around the rim sometimes with a little midi floater sort of game. White's just not. He's able to hit these. And it's so crazy to think of this guy as a guy we were just – every time he shot that first year he was here, you're like – you're just like, you had 25% vibes, Bobby, I got to do this. And now I'm stunned when it looks like it's going to go down every single time. It's almost perfect right now. So it's not just the defenders. He's doing it.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing it in transition. He's doing it on the
defense. Everything.
And you know what?
That's tough that they practice too. That's tough that they like, they sometimes he gets some of these like wacky passes in practice just to see how he can get right into a shot after the fact, you know, because a lot of times that's what happens in these situations, right? You know, you get double teamed, and most of the time it's Derek White that makes himself open and then has to make a play under 6-7 seconds, and he's fine with it. Like, he has no problem taking on that pressure, and he's shown that he's very comfortable in those situations, honestly.
Bobby, what's going on?
Yeah, this was amazing from White. It just gets better and better. Every game, every week, 7 of 10 to start this game. He improves to 52% from three through that point in this postseason. And that's obviously going to come down to earth at some point, but you get all the other stuff too here. I mean, he's just a perfect player, and he comes, what, eighth in Defensive Player of the Year voting today. So you got that aspect of his game that's shining here too. And the toughness, I mean, when you were here early, John, the bump he gave in the paint to finish for, I think, his first basket, you see that side of him too. It's just awesome where he's at right now, confidence-wise especially. And keep talking about, can you get him more shots? Can you get more opportunity? Luckily, these first two series have been such, because they're not just going to force feed him the ball. They're not going to, you know, give him the most ball time. Fortunately, the ball is flowing from the Jays to him. And great positions to score in rotation. This is already looking pretty similar to the way the Celtics had to attack the Heat in that series. And he gets advantageous matchups against those guards. This is going to be a ginormous White series. Like we talked about coming into it, it's probably not going to be as much of a Tatum series, just like last round. They're going to key in on him. He's not going to shoot great, and he's just going to have to keep the ball moving. So White can have the game he had, and Brown can have the game he had.
Let me ask this question, because I think we all agree you don't need it to be a Tatum series to win at times. Is there another superstar, first all-NBA player, anywhere else, and maybe it's more a credit to the Celtics team than it is a knock on Tatum, and it kind of is, but is there any other team where you would say they don't need their best player really this series?
No, but it's a credit to the team that the Celtics not have, and that's why they built the team that they have.
Crazy. You
know, to minimize those deficiencies.
Yeah, I'm not saying it to be a total dig at Tatum. When he wasn't in, I'm like, that's fine. You know, look, they're fine.
Right.
Yeah.
And he can't force stuff. I mean, they cleaned up some of his messy shots, Cornet especially, you know, on the reverse there early. And they were just great following him and, you know, being ready to get their opportunities away from the pressure he saw out there. And, you know, I think JB Bickerstaff was saying that the Celtics hit a lot of tough shots in this game. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at that. That felt like a little bit of a excuse making from him, but they, I think, flowed offensively great in this game. There were a couple of those 3-4 passing sequences. And I'm just not going to get caught up on the Tatum stuff. You'd love for him to be shooting better. You're probably going to need him to score a ton in some spot in this postseason. But as long as teams are going to continue to guard them like this, and Brown and White are going to continue to score this efficiently, this is what you want to see. Like, I don't think anyone would have any problem if the Celtics win the championship with Tatum shooting 40%. There'd be nothing wrong with that.
No, of course not. Nobody would care. I think people are concerned that they won't be able to win if Tatum doesn't step it up.
What do you think, Jimmy?
You're going to be playing a better team than the Cavs and the Heat, and you're going to need to play better overall. I mean,
do you think, guys, he's just shooting poorly, or are teams, Heat and Cavs specifically, obviously, taking him out of these games, just making sure that he can't beat them?
It's more on him. I think if you're an elite player, you got to put the onus on yourself to figure out ways to score. I mean, I don't think that they're doing anything that teams haven't done before. I wouldn't say the Cavs did anything elite tonight on the defensive end. He missed some shots that I think could have gone either way. And you know what? What we said earlier, Bobby, was that the difference between Tatum and a lot of these other superstars is that he doesn't have to score 40. He doesn't have to put up 25 shots. He doesn't have to shoot himself out of a slump necessarily. So he kind of takes what the game gives him, I think, more than some other stars. Maybe that makes people think that he's not aggressive enough. But I think also he looks around and says, okay, look at all the talent around me. I'm not going to go make this about me in four shots and try to get myself back into this game. I'm going to give it to Jaylen Brown, who's got 20 points in the first half, or I'm going to give it to Derek White, who has 6 3-pointers and is about to hit a seventh. You know what I mean? So I think that's the right way to play if you're trying to win a championship. And to your point, Bobby, yeah, if they win a championship, no one's going to care what anyone did. I mean, those players probably will care, and they might have personal goals and accolades that they want to reach. But if you're a Celtics fan and you're raising the banner, you're not going to be thinking about the stats of each player that got you there. And when you go back to 07-08, Joe Sway, you know, there was a lot of passing the ball around and a lot of teamwork. And there wasn't one dominant player that was, you know, leading the league in any specific category. You had KG, who was leading the league in, you know, chest pumps and trash talk. And you had Pierce, that was obviously an extremely clutch player. And Rayon, who was extremely automatic from 3-point. Everyone had a certain role. So I think if you can get these guys to embrace their roles and to just contribute in whatever way that is, then people are going to obviously, our fans are going to obviously be okay with that.
And he did take bad shots in this game. That the worst was the step back three over Tristan. I mean, you have Tristan on you in the perimeter.
That's annoying as hell. I have never understood the setup. The guy set up the slow big to shoot over the top of them, unless they're playing 10 feet off of you. But he wasn't. He's daring him to drive. I find that one really weird. But yeah, exactly.
There were a lot of those in this game. Bad shot attempts. And that's why I contrast this against some of the games he had against the Heat. He just took some poor shots in this game and didn't get to his spots. And there is still the settling. There is still the, you know, looking for calls or whatever it might be there. I wouldn't, you know, there's a lot of situations, and I wasn't in on a ton of Joe. I'm sure he said he had a great game by just doing the other things out there. But if the shot selection is taking you out of the games, like Jimmy said, I don't think it was as much what the Cavs did here. The Heat, I think, switched and showed him 2-3 bodies in a lot of that series. I gave him a lot of credit for the way he approached that series. But this was just a rough shooting night.
No, this wasn't like the Heat at all. This wasn't like the Heat at all when they're sending
bodies. And by the way, Bobby, he didn't shoot close to 40%, so I don't know where you're coming up with that number.
Well, that's probably where he's at for the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
Take that, Jimmy.
Well, I'm talking about tonight. I'm not talking about,
Suck it, Jimmy. All right, Bobby's going to take a
Cornet. That percentage was a lot lower in the first round, yeah.
Bobby's taking a Cornet victory lap in just a minute, but first off, we're going to pay some bills, and we're going to tell you all about what? PXG. Love it. You know PXG is on a mission to create high-quality golf clubs. What else are they on a mission to do? Check out this sexy stuff right here. Yup.
That gear.
The gear. Wow.
That's how you look, John, okay. Every time you put on that polo shirt.
Awesome. Same passion and excellence to their new line of apparel, premium materials, technology designed for peak performance, confidence-inspiring looks, invite all-day play, taking you seamlessly from the court out night on the town to the office, whatever you want. PXG apparel, something for everyone. Pants, polos, sweaters, quarter zips, joggers, jackets, skirts, whatever you want. As Jimmy pointed out, yeah, we got some good stuff. I got a great shirt. I bought a great shirt. It was that good. I used the discount here. So all you have to do to elevate your style game on and off the course with the PXG Spring and Summer Collection is head over to pxg.com/Garden Report. Use that code Garden Report. Check out to save 10% on all apparel, pxg.com/Garden Report, code Garden Report, save 10% on all apparel. That's all you got to do. That's get it. After it. Yeah.
Pretty simple. And then you're a good golfer. Yeah. You automatically be a better golfer.
Yeah. That's all you got to do. And you're a better golfer.
You'll break 100. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And you will. All right, Bobby, go for it. Luke.
Put him on Cornet Cam.
He is our father.
You missed that dunk though, even though it didn't count. That was nasty.
And they took away another basket off the stupid offensive interference.
That was a horrible call, Bob.
Friggin' crappy crap.
That was a horrible call.
That shouldn't even be a rule.
Ridiculous.
It shouldn't even be a rule.
Challenge an out of bounds call, but he won't challenge an auto 2 points. I don't get that.
This was a phenomenal game from Luke.
There it is.
And while you guys were laughing and not even listening
Bobby, but you're not setting it up. I'll set it up for you. Watch, I'm gonna do you a favor.
Yeah. See, I don't like this, Bobby. I don't like the "see, I told you so," Bobby.
I wanted to take his victory lap, but he's not using the full full production here.
Oh, you want the stage? You want the stage?
Last episode of the Garden Report. This is what happened. Luke.
They can play drop all day against this team. And this actually surprised me. Someone on Twitter brought it up. I didn't see
just time out real quick.
Yeah.
I just want to point out here that my question was, what is the Celtics' biggest advantage versus Cleveland? And within the first 7 words of your answer, Luke's name came up.
It's
not about him, though.
I don't mind talking a little about Luke. Do we really believe that he belongs in the first sentence of an answer to the question, what's the biggest advantage the Celtics have here?
Only because they're going to be able to play drop all day long in the series.
He was right.
That was the story of the game tonight.
Yes. No, you did it again.
This is what we're talking about.
You did it again. You had a little advantage, right? You had a little, and you went all the way to you went all you took the whole thing, and you said he did it again. Did he do it again? Like
you gave me some swag.
Was he the story of the game?
This is a perfect Luke series. Early on, you're switching. You have Al out there. You're giving up some open threes. Getting beat in transition to the basket. Luke comes out there. And with the offensive rebounding, with the way they're slowing down the Cavs offense, you're able to set your defense, drop them back. And I showed you the shot chart, John. You were sitting right next to me. The Cavs didn't hit a mid-range shot until halfway through the second quarter tonight. Luke,
if they did, we'd be killing Luke and his drop defense. But they didn't hit him. That's fine. But that wasn't like it was defended.
Yeah, but they don't want to take mid-range twos. And that was the point I was trying to make last night, is you can just drop Luke back. He'll take away the paint. And if the Cavs aren't hitting their threes, it's over for their offense.
Bobby's getting a lot of love in the chat right now. Bobby, you were right. I mean, this again, do you think Jared Allen being out obviously helps a lot?
Absolutely. This is a whole different series if he comes back.
Well, Porzingis being out, I don't think you'd get this much playing. I don't think you'd see Luke playing this much if Porzingis.
What do you want for your third center?
That's why you have a third center. So when the first goes out,
Prime Shaq is crazy.
And the third comes back to the backup role. He's great. I mean, the strength to have the kind of rebounding. Now, if there was any weakness that really frustrated people and really made them not want to see Luke in the past, because he's always been this great rim protector. He's always been a good lob threat and, you know, finisher around the basket as long as he's been here. The rebounding killed him in the past. I know people had problem with the tip outs. People had problem with just his overall strength on the boards. But he comes into this game and grabs 7 rebounds in like 6 minutes. A ton of them offensive, extra chances, putbacks. He has taken his rebounding game to another level, and that makes him a real asset in a series like this because he doesn't have to guard the perimeter, Jimmy. They're not going to put him in actions. They're not going to pull him out. They're not going to switch him out to the perimeter. So he can really just sit back at the rim, block some shots, grab some rebounds, and be a deterrent out there with his size. 10 rebounds, 2 blocks. That's what you want from your third center.
Now I got Louise is comparing the Cornette persecution to the JB persecution here. That's fine.
That's quite a reach.
Yeah.
But, no, listen, I think Luke gave them exactly what they needed. And this was our biggest fear in the regular season was that you were going to have an injury and you were going to have to end up with somebody like Luke or Kata or Tillman, and you weren't sure if they were going to kill you. And John, I hate to say it, but you said at times you thought it would be a very quick hook for Luke if he had to be in.
I still think it is.
It still is. Yeah, I agree with that, Jimmy. But he had 2 blocks to start.
He controls it. Whereas, like, you know, you had those other players who's like, if he doesn't hit a 3 early, you know, you're going to get him out of there. I still think it's a fairly quick hook on some of the benches, depending on the opponent. But again, you just couldn't have better matchups here to be able to play guys and not be worried that you're going to get smoked and, you know, have the game get away from you in their stints. It's just these teams are just not up to Boston's standards. So again, it's that same thing where Cleveland gets into their bench. Look who they're playing, man. I mean, guys who are in street clothes, like
that first bench rotation was
brutal. Oh my goodness gracious, is it bad? So I'm not taking it away here, but it's a safe series for Luke. It absolutely is. It totally is. The Miami series was safe for really all the bench guys. I you know, you wonder if it ratchets up and the competition gets tougher, some of these guys might get played off the floor. Because
but this is what we've always said, he's a matchup players.
Yeah,
he's a matchup guy, and this is a really good matchup for him because the Cavs don't shoot mid-rangers. And they're not an exceptional three-point shooting team, especially on the perimeter. So he can just sit back and defend the rim all day long in this series. And it devastated the Cavs. I mean, they had that 8-9 stretch in the first quarter. Then they scored 15 points in the second and went on like a 7-for-26 drought because they just couldn't get to the basket.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you have to credit Luke also because even some of those plays where he didn't necessarily block the shot, he made Mitchell, you know, uncomfortable a little bit, right? He made him switch up, and a lot of the times those turn into a missed layup, and then that's when the Celtics got their fast break going. I mean, one play in particular where he did that to Mitchell, outlet, I believe it was to Drew, and boom, 2 points on the other side of the floor. So that's
I love this. This is where third
stops. He's looking ahead right away. He's not trying to celebrate. He's not going to hold the ball for a little bit. He gets the ball right back up the floor, and like that's the type of, you know, moving the ball in transition and making sure everyone gets their touches, like it fits. So, yeah, this is that type of series for him when you look at just how shorthanded and how thin the Cavaliers are up front.
This is where he's your third center came from, because he holds Bam the 5 for 14. He has this game tonight, and now we're seeing comments saying, yeah, but can he bang with Jared Allen? What do you want him to do?
No, he can't, Bobby. But he's not in the equation right now.
He's your third center. Whose third center is banging with Jared Allen?
This is where that came from. That's right.
When Bobby says it with sincerity, it's even better than Jimmy's taunting one. He's your third center.
What about Fernando? I don't know.
By the way, I told Joe Sway.
You know Fernando, Atlanta's third center.
When Luke started playing 2 years ago, real minutes to start that season, I was like, Joe Sway, I think I heard some like Luke chants, and you're like, I didn't hear that. That must have just been you. Tonight, the whole garden was chanting, Luke.
Yeah, that's true.
So he's won over the fans.
On a Tuesday night. That's impressive.
He got a standing ovation tonight.
It must have been a 7 o'clock start. You know, people getting after him. Got right into the game. He got two legit chances. That's true. It didn't just happen once.
I heard the garden was kind of quiet tonight. Is that true?
It picked up later. It started.
Bobby, did you get the Luke chant recorded? Did you record that?
I kept missing it every time.
Make it your ringtone.
I recorded it, but it almost sounded like booze because it was like Luke.
Yeah, right.
It was like one of those like Kevin Youkilis. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Luke. Going back to just because I have it loaded up here, we're talking about Derek White and his scorching hot shooting, 7 of 12 from three. Looked like he was never going to miss. Derek White talking about what makes him so awesome.
Be able to just be this hot shooting the ball right now, and you know, in this much in a groove. Just how does it feel?
Hot right now.
Feels good. I think just the most important thing is just to win. Like I've said before, it doesn't matter if I score 0 or however many I score today. Like when we win, and doing enough.
Is anything you feel like set you up for this? Is it the quality of looks you're getting? Is it the way you entered the playoffs? Just why do you feel like you're in this groove right now?
Yeah, I think I'm getting pretty good looks. And obviously you make a couple, the basket's a little bigger, and you kind of take and make tougher ones. So I think I definitely started the game with some good looks and then just went from there.
Does it feel like you're in a rhythm?
Yeah, I'd say so. Feels good. I just want to help us win. That's all it is.
I love it. Everyone just basically trying to get Derek White to like, just admit that you're awesome, Derek. Just tell us that you're awesome.
Say that you're feeling
well,
I don't know. Like that's his response.
Yeah, he's like,
I'm all right.
Yeah. He's so casually dominant. Like I've never seen a guy
extremely humble guy, man. Extremely humble.
With less ego, awesome. Who's more willing to sacrifice,
such a good guy.
Who just falls into like 25 points and 3 blocks every single night. It's crazy. It's truly one of the great role player like emergences we've seen with this team ever. I mean, he's legitimately their third
silent
star.
Assassin.
On a lot of nights, and I know as John would say, on many nights, he's their second best player.
Well, he's perfect. It was Brown in him tonight.
Yeah. You know. And he was that way in game five as well last series. He's had 3 just out of this world games in a row. And, you know, I'm getting to the point where if they go on to win this championship. Part of me is saying, like, I hope this guy wins finals MVP just so people remember what he did along the way. Because this stuff, like, we've talked about it, right? They're undefeated without Brown. They're 2-0 now in the playoffs without Porzingis. He obviously can't lose Tatum because he's just so central to everything they're doing right now. They've won some games this year without Drew. You pull Derek out of this, I just don't think it works. And they've had some of the worst games this season without him out there. Like, he makes it work. He's so crucial on both ends of the floor. And it's great to see him playing with this level of aggressiveness and confidence. They need him to do this much.
Yeah. It's the confidence that surprises me, though. That's the big thing about him, because he's been a guy that when he came here, you didn't know whether he could impact winning or whether he'd have the confidence to go out there and impact.
We just want him to be an upgrade from Fournier. Remember that, guys?
Oh, damn. Josue, you had to bring him into the conversation.
That's all at that time. That's all.
That's what you were thinking?
Yeah.
Damn.
Because he had to be someone that
I forgot about that dude, Josue.
He's going to stick around. He wasn't someone that saw this re-envision, that saw this flipping. You know, like, it was like they kind of had to make this work. And I thought the whole going into Ime's system at that time, it was tough for him to adapt. But sorry, go ahead, Sherrod. Yeah, I did have to bring up Fournier real quick, guys. Yeah, I forgot about him.
No, I'm done, Josue. I'm done. you brought up that dude, man. Come on, man.
No, those are the dark days. He's the replacement.
Talking about the series in general, early on, earlier in the show, Bobby, we were talking very simply about this kind of sort of went like the way we thought, which is like, there's no way, you know, the Cleveland's going to make this competitive. I know you were saying on the preview show, well, let's consider this, let's consider that, you know, it's a real opponent, you know. And trying to talk us off of this is the most boring, obvious blowout series of all time. After a game, what is your opinion change at all watching this team?
No, I expected this in game one. They're coming 2 days off the game seven. They don't have Allen or Wade.
Just like the Bruins.
I thought they showed pretty well in game one. You know, overcoming an early 13-point lead, kind of gaining a stranglehold over that first quarter, but then things just go off the rails. I thought Mitchell looked pretty good here, you know, overall. Like, he was able to get his shot off however he wanted for most of the game. It's just a lot of the stuff we talked about. Like, the shooting's not there on the wing. Strus and Okoro were non-existent for a lot of this one, and Okoro probably had one of the, you know, better games you could imagine from him shooting the ball. Mobley, man.
Yeah.
That guy's
not getting that out of
brutal.
Okoro again. You'll give him all of those threes. He's not going to hit four again in a game. Sorry.
I'm just so disappointed by Mobley, because he was one of those, like, real draft darlings, right? The guy got compared to Tim Duncan. He's in the Defensive Player of the Year race pretty early in his career.
What does he do? I don't know what he does.
There was one play. Josue was laughing at it. He just tried to, like, go straight up against Tatum in the post and just, like, left it right off the front rim. And then he piled on a couple shots late, so his stat line looks decent. But he was horrendous offensively in this one. They're in a tough spot. No Allen, no Wade. They don't stand a chance in this series. Now, Wade looked like he was doing some stuff at shoot around and maybe is inching a little closer to being able to play here. Allen just doesn't seem close. And JB was saying,
he doesn't, right? Yeah.
After the game, the big thing right now is he can't protect himself out on the court, and they're not going to play him until he can protect himself out there. At shoot around, he was like struggling to just move around, never mind even do anything out on the court.
I think the sideline report said that he's in pain sleeping still. Like,
can't breathe.
He's not going to be able to play. He's got bruised ribs, and he's a physical center. All you have to do is just body him up a little bit in the paint, and he's going to crumble. I mean,
right.
Really, that's it. He's not going to be a factor in this series, so that's a huge loss for Cleveland. They were already fighting an uphill battle, but I don't really hate to say it, but I mean, I think it's just a fact. You're going to get more games that look kind of like this one. Donovan Mitchell's
right.
I thought Mitchell could get, if Donovan Mitchell scored like 40 a game, I thought maybe it'd be close. He might need to score 50 a game, the way that this Cavs team is built right now. There's just
They're playing Sam Merrill, Tristan Thompson, Marcus Morris. Georges Niang has completely disappeared.
Yeah.
They don't have enough guys. This is like the Heat all over again right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Thanks, my dog.
Yeah, I don't see it. All right. So a couple promotional things here. Jimmy, you want to promote merch? You can do that. Now I'm gonna tell you guys what's coming up after this Garden Report. You want to get after it? Nick Gelso made a promise, and he's gonna keep it. Do you have
merch?
You have it, Jimmy?
That's right. Well, yeah. Quick reminder. 20, we gotta
20% off.
John, you going to let me do it or are you going to do it?
20% off.
Jesus, you're going to hurt Jimmy. You're going to do it.
That's
and then
twice. That's twice you told him to say it. Let him let him.
I know. I'm just messing with him.
20% off.
I'm messing with him. He jacked me last time earlier in the show. He just threw it up.
You know Jimmy's going to flip. That's
I told you it was coming after your reads.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Merchandise.
20% off.
Jimmy's so mad.
How do you get 20% off? Well, you need the promo code. We go different promo code after every win. The promo code tonight is 11 more. Do the math.
Where
guys.
Is that?
That's not on this because we don't have a new graphic. You just have to hear me out. The promo code is 11
more. Are you and Nick? What kind of show? What kind of show are you running here?
I asked Nick, can we put like a graphic up? He said, oh, you're going to have to ask.
Tell us about it. We have graphics.
Jimmy and Nick
guys.
Didn't watch the game.
These
they just talked
merch
all night.
No, I asked him while the show was on. I was like, oh, we should have like a graphic made for it. He's like, oh, you got to ask John. I'm like, well, I'm not going to ask John in the middle of the show. But regardless.
And here we are. Here we are.
Regardless, yeah. The promo
you know
code
these
is
guys
11
behind
more.
The scenes are just making graphics the whole time, right?
One more. I don't care. I don't
I
know.
Get the feeling yeah, before the show ends, there'll be a graphic. I get the feeling.
Yeah. All right. If any of the graphic guys are watching, type up a lower third. CLNS shop promo code 11 more for 20% off. There you go. It's pinned in the chat. 20% off tonight on we got a bunch of t-shirts, we got some hats, we got jackets. There's a couple t-shirts that are very low inventory, but you can sort of like do like the you can order them and when they come in, we'll ship them out to you guys. We also have some designs in the works.
Yeah. Me and Ahmed finalized. You know, you finalized the Cornette one tonight.
No, you didn't. Jimmy finalizes things. You guys have no. You do not have final say.
We unfinalized it really quick after I saw what it looked like, Bobby. Don't worry. It'll look better than what you
saw. So just so you guys know, Jimmy, we don't have enough credentials to send Jimmy to the game, but he will be outside in a little cart on Thursday. So you can go meet Jimmy. Yeah.
We should totally do like a little stand-up cart there and just – there are some pretty ridiculous shirts at the Garden right now.
We'll think about it. You know what happens if you bring a cart to the Garden? You're going to be forced to fight other vendors in like turf wars. They're going to send their boys over and like mess you up. Like you got to be really careful where you end up.
We need security.
Oh, yeah. You see the same faces at specific corners. Yeah, it's true, man. Like,
well, Nick, Nick provides security.
One last thing.
It'll be Nick just like this, you know,
chain smoking.
One last thing, we are finalizing the design for hard hats. These are going to be legit hard hats that you guys can buy and wear them to the Garden or wear them around. You should only wear them after playoff wins, but if you're going to the game, we will allow them to be worn at the game. I would say
okay, merch. It's in the chat, pinned in the chat. Deal. We'll also tell you you want a little bit more from Bobby and Josue. You can have a little bit more from Bobby and Josue. Possibly even throw some Noah in there. What do you think?
Live. Yes?
Huh?
Right. Ooh. Yes.
Whoa.
Right
whoa,
there.
Whoa,
right
what's
there.
Going on here?
It's glitching out.
It's our clip.
It's a new promo.
It's glitching out. Trying to, but it's glitching out. Celtics Cavs game one. Look at Noah does not trust Josue at
Bobby
all.
Bobby
look
looks
at this.
Pissed. What did you just say, yeah. Josue?
Noah's like, what the? Noah's like, what did Josue just say to Bobby?
No, that's her face.
Bobby's like about
she's
Bobby
got that face a lot of the time. What you mean?
Nah, she does not trust you, buddy.
Bobby looks yeah. disgusted. Sorry. Josue.
She's getting used to the camera. Hey. She's getting used to the camera. We'll be all right. That's a great pick.
Nah, you said something. I don't know what the hell you said, Josue.
Bobby's got
the
guilty.
Look.
Yeah.
Josue, it looks like you just said, oh shit, I said that out loud, didn't I? And then
It looks like Noah's like, yo, Bobby, you gonna take that from him? That's what it looks like.
Yeah. Be a man, Bobby. That's that kind
yeah.
of look. Like,
stand right, up right. Yeah, yeah. Still, stand
but
up
anyway, this will be
give
live on the
10
channel.
10 times as much as it me.
This will be live on the channel eventually. Immediately fart, after like the Jimmy. Show, you want to go find more basketball talk from guys who actually know what they're talking about. First to the Floor, one of my favorite podcasts on the CLNS Media Network. They're going to jump on, and they're going to get going with Jake and with Ben. The Aussies are going to tell you exactly what happened and why it happened in game one. So make sure you watch that as well. Guys, closing thoughts. We're going to wrap this one up and let some other people do some talking.
Closing thoughts, man. Boston Celtics, I want to see more. You know, and that's what something Joe Mazzulla mentioned. Like, yeah, the offense looked great tonight, but we could be even better. So I expect that type of effort in game two, especially because I think we're going to get a much better effort from Cleveland for sure. So my whole thing is, yeah, game one was great for the Celtics, but do more, be better in game two.
Just get the game to win and move on. Just don't play with your food. Just keep stacking these wins. I don't care whether you win by one or 41. Just keep winning so you can get this series over with and get to the conference finals. Get there healthy.
I think we're going to talk a lot about Tatum tonight. I'll be interested to see what he said after the game here. But balancing these personal shooting struggles with doing what the team needs to do to win, I think that's going to be a process for him here going forward if this is how teams are going to try to guard him or take him out of the game, if that's what's going on here. So I'm interested to see his reaction to just where he's at this postseason because he has not shot well at all. And I do think he's done some other stuff to make up for it, but it's tough, right? You're the star. You want to be performing well, even in wins. You know, how long can you balance that if you are shooting poorly?
Tatum doesn't even get on the podium tonight. It's JB, Derek White,
Luke Cornette.
Put Luke up there.
And on that note, kind of want to kind of basically say is that instead of going at Tatum, I want to give Brown his flowers. Podium night for Brown.
That was incredible.
Great game, Bobby.
That was one of the best Brown games I've ever seen.
Yeah, we didn't really spend a whole lot of time on him, shocker. But this was a great game for him. And again, he set the tone early on. He was aggressive. Not from just, going to the hoop, aggressive from three. Didn't faze him that other guys on the team like Tatum didn't have it tonight. He just did his thing. And, he's been a guy that they've leaned on in the playoffs in the past. And he doesn't seem to be one to shy away from the big moments. And, I got to give him his flowers tonight for dropping two on the Cavs. Listen, the Cavs hung around. I'll give the Cavs this. They were just down by like 10, it felt like most of the game, 12, 10, 13, 10. And, guys like Tatum and or guys like Brown and White kept them double digit points away when it felt like maybe they were going to try to breathe a little bit of life into themselves. So I'll give Brown credit tonight. He gets the Brownie Award. Brown gets the Brownie Award tonight.
I don't think that's allowed, but Brown was clearly the best player and played his best.
White
game
gets
of the
Brownie Award. White
yeah, Brown played clear by far his best game of the playoffs tonight. He was awesome. And the tone setter early. So that was great. And again, it's the, I hate saying the win without Tatum. Everything shouldn't be a commentary on someone else. But yeah, it was Brown all the way. And then White, blows up late. He can't miss a three. And just too much Celtics and
it's just worth talking about because it's been the story of the playoffs so far. Tatum's struggling. Yeah. Everybody else is picking him up. Is that the formula that's going to carry them? Do they have to get Tatum going or can this just be something they live with? And, to their credit, to Tatum's credit, they've lived with this when they've had a win this way throughout the year.
They're 5-1.
Yeah.
You can't really complain about it, but you wonder when he's going to, because of the law of averages, you wonder when he's going to flip that switch, but right now, Celtics are winning, they're cruising.
Yeah. Follow what Louise says here. It's Jimmy.
I didn't know. Just
the fingers here. There's usually how many you worked in TV. How many producers are there?
I was just scrolling.
Follow what Louise says. Like and subscribe. Jimmy, put up your comment too, and then we're going to go.
I lost it. It's gone.
You lost it? All right. Thank you guys for hanging out. Thanks to the guys down there. As I said, Bobby Josue and Angry Noah will have a post-game show in a little bit with some more, B-ball specific topics. All of those guys got to talk to a lot of the players. You'll get some of that insight as well. And you can also go check out First to the Floor. They're running their show over on their channel. Again, one of the best podcasts, period, on the CLNS Media Network. I say that sincerely. 11 wins to go. Blurp knows what's up. We will see you guys back here on Thursday night. Good night.
Wait, Amit's got an outro for us, I think.
No, he doesn't.
He said he was going to work on an outro.
He had a phenomenal game.
Phenomenal game.
Horford's out. I think it's an option.
That did not sound like a chair.
It was a freaking chair. It does sound like a chair.